is all about God being glorified.
Amen.
Amen. And she needs to learn what the South is like already, you know, so it don't bother me. Amen. Don't want my kids. She said, what? Amen. But truly, it's an honor to be saved.
Yes,
ma'am. I didn't hit too many amens.
Amen.
I said, truly, it's an honor to be saved. Amen. Amen. It's an honor to be a part of an organization. Amen. That they, you know, the people are just so kind and nice. You know, no matter where we go, what's your other ministers, the district elders, the bishops, you know, they're all just kind. You know, they don't sit high and look low and look down on us, but they're just down to earth.
Yeah, amen.
And we thank God for that. Tonight, we're going to turn to, we're going to start off in 1 Timothy chapter 4. You know, the whole time I was gone, a message that kept resounding over and over in my mind, amen, and I even started studying and looking at it while I was away, is still trying to get us to understand that there's a tremendous difference between believing God and trusting God. There's a tremendous difference between believing God and trusting God. Have any of y'all ever heard of the trust exercise?
Mm. Yes, sir.
The trust exercise is... And you know, when you listen to the rules of the exercise, it's kind of a reflection of our trust with God. The trust exercise is this. You are to come forward. And come here, Deacon Joe. Hi, we're Deacon Joe and I are illustrating for you. We'll find out if Deacon Joe really trusts you. The trust exercise is this. You're supposed to look forward, you can't look back. Amen. He has to keep his eyes forward. Amen. Rule number one, don't look back. Rule number two, you can't step back. Amen. Rule number two, you can't step back. So in salvation, we don't look back. Paul said, I forget about the things which are, and I press forward to the things which are. So we don't look back, we don't step back, and you can't lean back. Amen. But if you really trust, and this is what we're trying to get from God. When I trust, we don't have no reservation. Trust is, and this is how the game is really played. If he trusts me, he's supposed to keep his body stiff as a board and just fall back. Don't do it, bro. But that's what trust is. Amen. It's not questioning why. You know, sometimes you say, well, okay, I trust you, but you look back just a little bit to make sure. Reservation. Well, I think many times in our spiritual walk, we keep looking back. We keep holding on to things because we're not 100% sure that God has us like he says. Amen. With that in mind, let us turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4. It's just like a young child. You know, when you have a young child, your child will trust you with their life. They don't have no questions. They don't. You know, no reservation. You say, oh, come and jump to me. They don't care how far they are, they'll jump. Because they trust you. How many of us really trust God that much tonight? Amen. Do we really trust God like that? Do we have some reservation? Or we start to leave, but we want to look back and make sure he's there. Amen. Say, well, not me. A lot of us are like that without even realizing. We don't trust God. We'll try to go through that. 1 Timothy chapter 4, we're going to read verses 1, and after 1, we're going to skip down. We're going to skip down from 1, and we're going to skip down to verse 6 through 10. Chapter 4, verse 1 reads, now the Spirit, we actually read verses 1 and 2, if we can all stand. Amen. I know it's a little cold, but this is how we get to keep those that are able to stand. If we can stand, we're going to read verses 1 and 2. And then we're going to skip down to verse 6 through 10. 10, 6 through 11. If we have, can we say amen?
Amen.
Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Verse 6.
If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ,
nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained, but refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we will both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God. Once again, for therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. Once again, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. Verse 11. These things command and teach. May the Lord have a blessing to the reading of His word. And somebody say, His word is blessed already. All right. Can we say, His word is blessed?
His word is blessed.
Already.
Already.
May be seated in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're dealing with trust. Trusting God. As I said, belief and trust are two different things. You can believe God without trusting God. Belief is religion. Amen. Trust is salvation. Belief is just religion. Everybody has a religion. Everybody believes in something. But when you trust God, you have salvation. Or you have a personal relationship with God.
Yes.
I'm afraid in the church today, many of us have gotten to the position where we do believe God. Amen. But when we enter to the arena of trust, we hold back. Amen. First one reads, the Spirit speaketh. Amen. This is clear. Amen. They, you don't have to try and figure out anything. There's no ambiguity, there's no controversy. It's clear. The Spirit speaks clearly, amen, that in the latter time some shall
depart from the faith.
In order to depart from something, you have to first be what?
In.
In it. So he's not writing to the unsaved. Amen. He's not writing to those that do not know the Lord.
Yes.
But he's writing to those who know. They are in the faith. No wonder Jesus said we must earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the children of God. So we are contending for the faith. But in the last time, it's evident, amen, if we look around and you say, wow, I thought that brother or sister was on fire for God. He said, but some are departing from the faith. Amen. The faith is not what we think or what we believe. The faith is what God is set forth by his standards, that is the faith. Depart from the faith, giving heed to
seducing spirits and doctrines
of demonic influences. Demonic influences. The opposition to truth is a lie or deception. Amen. So they give heed to seducing spirits and what?
Doctrines
of
devil.
Well, what is this causing? It's causing a departing from the faith, from the truth. Maybe they're still in church, but the full trust in God is no longer there. Yes, they believe they have a religion, but salvation goes beyond just believing, because the Bible says that faith without works is what?
Dead.
So belief is having the faith, but the works is what makes us alive. Belief is having the faith, amen, but the works is what makes us alive. That's why the word of God said God is quick and he is powerful, amen. So we must enter into another arena. Faith alone is not enough, because faith without works is. And then James goes on to illustrate this. He says, you believe that there is belief. That there is what?
One God.
One God. He said, but on the flip side, the devils also
believe
and tremble. So it's not enough just to believe. Because the devils, the demons, tremble and believe. So what he's dealing with earlier, and he's bringing into focus, is works. What are our works? Amen. Because faith without works is like the body without the spirit is dead. Amen. And later we'll tie all that in when we go on a little further. So faith without works is dead. But verse 2 says this, commanding not speaking lies and hypocrisy. Number one is a what? Speaking lies. This is what makes us know whether we trust God or believe God. Are we truthful? Amen. Are we honest? Amen. It says no God. Is there no ambiguity? Amen. We just straight out and in the front. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. This is what the Lord said. He said, wherefore, laying aside, amen, all malice and all guile. Guile is deception. Guile is not honesty. God is being, you got some stuff hiding in the background. So wherefore, laying aside all malice, all guile, and hypocrisy. Dealing with hypocrisy, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, writes in those and read it later. And he said, and then he goes on to say, and evil speakings and evil doing as newborn babes desire the
sincere milk of the word
that you may grow. Well, the difference between belief and trust is there should be some growth. Mm-hmm. Amen. There should be some spiritual maturity. But when we just believe, we don't grow. Because of those five elements that will hinder our spiritual walk. Element number one is malice. Malice is just a wrong, bad spirit. Amen. Element number two is, he didn't say God, he says all. The first two, malice and God, he says all malice. The saint of God can't have any little things. Amen. We can't have the smallest part. All malice. Got to get rid of it. God is deception. Amen. It's a misrepresentation of the truth. All God, you're deceiving. You're putting a foot forward that you're a certain way, but it's God. Because there's no honesty. Amen. We went over it before. Sincerity or pureness is the Greek word elekrines, which means you're sun judge. And we went over it before, the way that they would determine whether something was authentic or real, or if it was in disguise, they would let the sun pass through it. Amen. Lord, pass through me tonight. Amen. May your word shine on me tonight. Lord, because I don't want to have hypocrisy. I don't want to have guile, but I want to be real. Well, that's what trust is being real with God. But when we don't trust God, we hold back a little bit. Amen. God says do something, we say I'll do it, but we peek back to make sure God is in. God is the God of his word. If we stand on his word, we have his assurance. Amen. The Bible said, whereby two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to tell a lie. Amen. What are the two immutable things? God and his word. Those two things. You don't, listen, you can stand on God. You can be like the biggest fool in the world if you stand on the word of God. No matter where you are, God has to come and honor his word. But many times we fail to really trust God. Amen. Let me get down a little further. Let's go down to verse 10. Verse 10. We'll focus on this, and then we'll go to Proverbs chapter 3. Verse 10 says, for therefore we both labor and suffer. You know, it doesn't matter what I have to go through. We labor and we suffer. As long as it's not true. The Bible says that if you be buffeted for your faults and you take it patiently, what glory is that? Mm-hmm. But if when you do well, amen, and you suffer for it, and you take it patiently, he said, this is acceptable in the sight of God. If we are buffeted, you know, in other words, you're correct because you're wrong, and you take it patiently, what else can you do? But if you're doing well, amen, and you're being picked on, or talk about a reproach, or you're being corrected, and saying, if you take it patiently. Now, a lot of times we do well, and somebody get on us, and they don't have too much patience. So they come at us, and we go right back at them. Amen?
Amen.
We're dealing with real talk tonight.
Amen.
Because we want to be real. We want to show God that we trust him. Amen. When he said, vengeance is mine, said the Lord, I will repay. Amen. But when we are buffeted and we didn't do anything wrong, we have an urge to get a bad attitude. But the Lord says that this is good and acceptable in the sight of God. Amen. It said, for we consider Jesus, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Always getting back to deception. Neither was guile found in his mouth. He said, for when he reviled not again. Amen. He said, and when he suffered, he threatened not. But what did Jesus do? He trusted God. So he committed his soul into the hands of him that judges righteously. That's what salvation is all about. You know what? Do whatever you want to me. I'm going to take it. Because I want God to be glorified. Amen. And the scripture says, go on, we consider Jesus, who went through all of that, through all that suffering, and left an example for us to follow, that we should follow in his steps. As a church, sometimes we forget that the Lord didn't have the peaches and cream. He had difficulties. He had tests.
Yeah.
He had trials. But read about it in 1 Peter chapter 2. He said he committed his hands unto God as unto him that judges righteously. You know what he said? God, you're righteous. If I'm suffering this, maybe I didn't do anything now, but I'm paying for something I did before.
Right.
Amen. And if not, God, you're doing me just like the children of Israel to find out if I really trust you. Israel wandered in the wilderness for how long?
40 years.
40 years. That's a long time. Wouldn't you consider that?
Sure.
Amen. They could have been in the promised land, that much sooner, but they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years because God was proving them. Maybe tonight we haven't received the deliverance that we should have because God is
proving us.
Proving us. Amen. He said, I suffered you to humble. I suffered you to humble. Amen. I allowed you to go through this that I might humble thee to see what was in thine heart. If I trust God, Lord, when I go through it, I just want to be right. Lord, when I'm going through it, I trust you. And I've committed the safekeeping of my soul into your hand as unto one that judges righteous. And because you're righteous, God, and you will not reward me evil for good nor vice versa, I just trust you.
Amen.
But when I believe God, I know I have some reservation. I hold some stuff back. But he said, because we trust in the
living God.
Living God. Now this trust, there are 15 different words that represent trust. 9 in the Hebrew and 6 in the Greek. But tonight we're going to deal with the one in the Greek word. I believe it's number 1696, elpizo, E-L-P-I-Z-O. That's the trust we're going to deal with. Because that trust is hope with joy and full confidence. This trust means you have hope. Hope for what? Hope for salvation. Salvation is what? Deliverance. It can be deliverance and it can be also to be saved. So it's hope for salvation with joy and full
confidence.
Elpizo, hope, amen. Yes, I have hope, but where is the joy? We trust God, that's what it means. Hope is trusting God, having joy and full confidence, not being swayed by the
things around us. Amen. There's trust. Joy. Amen. I don't care what you do. You can't take my joy. I like the Lord said, I got joy that I give you in the world and not give it to you in the world and not.
Take it away.
Take it away. This is what trust is. Joy is having hope with joy and what kind of confidence?
Full.
Full confidence. There's no reservation. Amen. I trust God all the way. Amen. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 3. I have two illustrations that I'm spiritually debating to see which one I'm going to use, because they both take a long time. And I don't want y'all to be here all night. I can't make up 2 weeks in one night, can I? What? Amen. All right. Proverbs chapter 3, and we're going to go to verse 4. Actually, let's just go from 1 to 6 real quick, all right? Not 1 to 7, but Proverbs chapter 3. Let's go through all of this, amen? Because what we're trying to do is develop what it takes to have trust in God. Not holding back portions of it. Amen. We don't want to be an Ananias and Sapphira. They believed God, but they did not trust. I said they believed God, but they did not
trust.
So when they sold, they acted in God. They acted in deception. It was hypocrisy. Because when they came to the apostles, they said, now, we give it all. Amen? But that was God. Mm-hmm. That was deception. That was not the truth. They had a belief, but they did not trust God. So the Bible said, because they did not fully trust God, they did what? They kept back a portion for themselves. So in the sight of everybody, they looked all right. But God seeth not as man seeth. And the apostle, God let them know, said, why has Satan tempted you to lie to the Holy Ghost? When we don't act out truthfully, we're lying to the Spirit of God that's in us, because he knows. God, amen, that's deception. That is not honesty. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep mine.
Amen.
And I heard John write. He said, if you love me,
keep my
commandments. That's in John. But then in 1 John, he turned around and said, and my commandments are not grievous. About this shall all men know that you're my disciples indeed, the love you have one for another. But he said also by this, these my commandments are not grievous. God's word is not a burden.
Amen.
But we make it a burden because we don't want to do what he says. Because we don't trust it. You know, you say, well, let's use tithe and offering. Amen. We all do that. So that's a good example. You know, we have to debate that for me. So that's something we do all the time. Amen. I did it for you. If I pay my tithe and my offering, I might not be able to make it through. So God, I got to hold back a little. That's not trust. That's not trust. How are you saying you trust God? And I like in Deuteronomy, I forget which chapters, it's 6 or 8. He said, you know what? The only reason you have what you have, don't say you got it because of what you've done. This is what God tried to deal with the children of Israel. He said, you don't have what you have because of what you've done. He said, but it's me that's giving you power to get wealth. It's not because of your abilities. But when you trust God, he said, listen, hey, God can hear before anything else happens because I trust him. I don't have enough to pay my bills, but that's all right. God can hear first. Because if he didn't bless me, I wouldn't have it. And I trust him, so I'm not going to keep that. Well, I'm supposed to pay, let's go small, $5. Everybody pay more than that, right? All right, everybody pay more than $5 tithes, because you got to pay more than $50, we know. All right. Well, they say, well, you're supposed to pay $5. Well, I can't pay $5 because I have a cup of coffee I'm going to get, so I'm going to give God $4. That's not trust. Amen. Trust and give God all. Amen. Take care of God's business. The scripture says, love me with all your heart. So his commandments are not grievous. But we make God's word. Well, the Bible says, if somebody does this, I'm supposed to forgive them. I can't do that. You're making God's commandments grievous. Trust is, if he said it, I haven't got there yet. So guess what? You're going to keep wandering in the wilderness until you get it. God's going to keep allowing you to wander. So his commandments are not grievous. So he says, my son, keep my commandment, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth
forsake thee.
Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. You know, sometimes we are some of the most unmerciful people in the world. Amen. We want all the mercy, but we don't want to give out much. You know, grace is God giving us what we don't deserve. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Grace is, you deserve this. I mean, grace is giving us what we have not deserved and have not earned. Mercy is keeping back what we
deserve.
So he said, God, be merciful unto me. But then when the ties are switched and the shoes on the other feet, that's a good way to say it. We don't have no mercy. Let not mercy and truth
forsake thee.
Amen. It says, bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. So shall thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of man.
God.
God has an order.
Yes, he does.
When you do what you're supposed to do, your first favor is going to be in the sight of who?
God.
But we're like the Pharisee. Unfortunately, many times we forget. And because of our belief, we believe God, but trust God, we do man first, then God. Okay, let's go to Galatians chapter 2. We'll come back to this real fast. Go to Galatians chapter 2. So yes, I'm godly, yes, I'm spiritual, yes, I pray, I'm baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost. I got Jesus on my side and I'm running for my life. Anybody ask you, what's the matter with me? Just tell them my what?
Saved. Thank God.
Hello.
Go
saved. Thank God. I like the preacher said, I wish I had a prayer church. Mm-hmm. We don't have many here, so somebody got to do some prayer. Amen. I got Jesus on my side and I'm running for my life. Amen. I don't want to read all of this, hold on 1 minute. Let me highlight it, we're gonna go down to verse 11. This verse 1 says, after 14 years. Verse chapter 1, after 3 years of Paul being taught in the wilderness, he went up to Jerusalem to Peter and went aside and spent him privately for 15 days. Right, that's after 3 years. Now, 14 years later, he goes back up and takes with him Barnabas and Titus. Amen. Because there was a rift as to whether or not they should be teaching the Mosaic law with baptism and salvation. Amen. So they go all the way up to here, and Paul and the brethren, Peter and Cephas and James said, well, it's not necessary for you to do that. Amen. And who should have known better than Peter? Because who was the first one to deliver the message to the Gentiles to get them saved?
Peter.
When he went to the house of who? Cornelius. So then the brethren questioned Peter. After he said, what were you doing down there with those Gentiles? They're not worthy of salvation. And Peter showed them the vision that the Lord had given to them when he let down the sheep 3 times. And God finally told him, he said, what are the plans? Called out, not common or unclean. Then the men came to get Peter. They went down to the house of Cornelius. And as a result, while he was preaching, this is how God is. God said, I'm not going to let you do this. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do what I'm doing while you're preaching. And the Holy Ghost fell on them. Peter said, well, the Holy Ghost has fell on them like us. Can any man forbid water that they should not be baptized as we are? And then the brethren, chapter 11 of Acts, questioned him. When Peter finished explaining to him what happened, he said, well, may they be blessed as well. So Peter had already had his Gentile experience. He had already had his dealings with the Mosaic law and salvation. Amen. So Peter is the key, has the keys to the kingdom. He's the spokesman for Pentecost. Everything that happened at that time went through either Peter or I believe through Peter or through James. Amen? So they were the pillars in the church. Yeah. Amen. I believe when the Samaritans received the Holy Ghost, they sent for the brethren to come down. When the Samaritans got baptized in Jesus' name, they sent for the brethren to come down to receive the Holy Ghost. So the Gentiles had received the Spirit. Amen. And that brings us up to verse 11. Amen. Well, let me read verse 9 first, just to show you Peter was a pillar in the church. But Peter still didn't have full trust in God, because he was going to find the favor first in the sight of man, then God will come out after a while. Amen. He said, and when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be what? Pillars in the church. Now go down to verse 11. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was. Are we talking about a Holy Ghost man? Mm-hmm. Are we talking about the spokesman of Pentecost?
Yes, sir.
Yes, he still did not have what? Full trust in God. For before that servant came from James, he did eat with
Gentiles.
With the Gentiles. We're dealing tonight with trust and just belief. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, because he feared
the Jews,
them of the circumcision. So his favor was first with who? Man, and not with God. Now, we're not talking about early in Peter's ministry. Amen. We're talking about at least 20 years later, because Paul had been in this Arabian desert for 3 years being taught before he went to Peter. And then this was 14 years later. Now the same man who should have seen, he should have remembered what God had already done. He should have remembered the vision of the sheep. He should have remembered the vision of what God has cleansed, calls out not unclean. He should have remembered how God poured out his Spirit on Cornelius and his household and first Gentiles. He should have remembered all this. But for fear of man, that's why we got to be careful. Hallelujah. Your favor has to be with God first and then man. Peter, the spokesman of Pentecost, had to be corrected because he feared the people. Fear is a horrible thing. Fear will stagnate you. Fear will cripple you. Amen. Fear will render you useless in the kingdom of God. Fear would cause a dissimulation, as we found out. Dissimulation means hypocrisy. Amen. You act in one way until someone comes around, and then you act a whole different way. That's hypocrisy. Amen. So that's what Peter, how did you get like that? He did not trust God. His reverence was for who first? Man. Now go back to Proverbs chapter 3. His reverence was first with man, then to God. Proverbs chapter 3, and go back, I think we're on verse 4. I believe it's verse 4. It says, so shall thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of
God and man.
Keep it right. Amen. No one should force us to do the wrong thing. No one. No matter how high they are. Our reverence should always be first to Peter's problem was he was always afraid of what the brethren were going to say. So out of fear, he did the wrong thing. Amen. The scripture says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and what? So what battles your trust in the Lord? What rivals trust in God? Your understanding. Amen. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, lean not to thy own understanding. In
all thy ways.
No. And he will what? Direct thy path. Our trust, the hindrance to us trusting God, is leaning unto our own
understanding.
That's why the Bible said we walk by faith,
not by sight.
And not by sight. As long as you're trying to see your way through, amen, every time God says, fall, I got you, you're going to peep at. Because you don't really trust God. Amen. I'm not talking about making foolish things. I'm saying when you know God has told you to do something. But I don't want to hurt somebody's feeling. Would you rather hurt God? That died for our sins, that cleansed us, that has done everything. We are hurt God in them. Because we want to have faith in the sight of man than God. Terrible position. Let's go to our first 1 Samuel chapter 17. The scripture says, the next verse 7 says, be not wise in thine own eyes. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Be not wise in thine own conceit. Amen. But our fear of reverence has to be to God. But how do we know I really know if I trust God? Every decision I make, the hands that my door of decision swings on should be the Word of God. Every decision that I make, the hinges that my door of decision are swinging open or closed on should be the Word of God. Any other hinge that you may have, you can be assured of one thing, eventually that hinge is going to fall apart. Because there's only one thing that will endure to the end, and that is the Word of God. 1 Samuel chapter 17, let's go to verse 10. 1 Samuel 17, 10. Fear will cripple you. Now we're going to go over here three classes that will show whether or not we trust God. The other illustration we use at another time. Amen. We're going to go over three different classes to show whether or not we trust God. Or what's governing us. Amen. Do you know that God has everything for your good? He told them as Mr. Simon went over on Sunday, I know the thoughts I think towards you. Thoughts of what?
Peace.
Not evil. To give you an
expectation.
In other words, you know what God said? Listen, my plans are for you to have a future with hope. That's what I plan for you. But when we're wise in our own conceit, when we don't really trust God, we try to manipulate God. I say, you know what? God, I know what you said, but if I do that, I might miss out. You know what? I'd rather do everything God says and miss out than to try to help God out. How long has God been doing what he's been doing? Eternity. Eternity. My little finite body. My little final decision, God couldn't even find if he would carve a microscope. But then we have the audacity because we don't really trust God to try to help him out. Mm-hmm. I just say, Lord, not my will. I surrender all. Verse 10 says, 1 Samuel 17, 10, that's one. Because 17 don't have no sheep. Amen. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that he may fight. We may fight together. So what? I mean, is he fighting? What are these? Are just what? Words. Mm-hmm. Amen. Words. What hindered Peter's spiritual growth was fear of man. Amen. Now, and when Saul and all Israel heard
words,
what, had he done anything? Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, when they were walking by sight, mm-hmm, and lost their faith. That's why belief is not enough. Amen. You must have trust. Trust is, you know what, I don't care how big the mountain is. I don't care how wide the valley is. I don't care how deep the river is. Amen. I'm trusting in God. I refuse to allow the enormity of the situation to cause me to doubt God. I refuse to allow the enormity of the situation to cause me to what? Doubt God. Amen. It says that when Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and what?
Great
fear was stunning you. The whole
we had
behind you.
Right. All right.
When you trust God, you go to every situation, not because of what you have, but what you have behind you. Amen. Next verse says, now David was the son of the Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse, and he had 8 sons. Go to the next verse. Go to the next verse. And David was the youngest, and the 3 elders followed Saul. So he was the youngest, and his 3 brothers were with Saul. Next verse. But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. So David had already been with Saul. Before this occasion, he'd already been with Saul. Remember the Bible says that an evil spirit entered Saul. So what David knew when he would play on the harp, and when he played, what? The spirit would subside. So Saul knew David. David knew Saul. Amen? So this was not their first time meeting. Though most of the time we see it, when we look at it, we think, oh wow, he just learned who David was. He knew David, but he didn't know him quite like he should know him. Amen? And the Philistines drew near morning and evening and presented themselves 40 is a whole lot. Moses, 40 days. Jesus fasted 40 days. Moses was in the mountain, 40 days. 40. Whole lot of 40s. Amen? But we're not getting to the 40. So he presented himself out 40 days. For 40 days, the whole camp of Israel were afraid. What had he done? Nothing. What were they afraid of? The words. As a church, don't let words back you in the corner. Amen. We stand on God's word, and we honor God for his word. And Jesse said to David, take now for thy brethren an ephah of this poor son, these 10 loaves, and run to the camp to thy brethren. Keep going. And carry these 10 cheeses. Next verse. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper. That's what a good shepherd is. He didn't just leave the sheep, he left them what?
He did
things right with the keeper, and took and went as Jesse had commanded him, and came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight, and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage. Next verse. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistine, and spake according to the same words. But David trusted God. Says, and David heard them. He's one man by himself. But he did not just believe God. He trusted God. Trust is faith in action. Belief is sitting on the seat of do nothing and watching everybody else. Trust is faith in what?
Action.
Amen? And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were
afraid.
Did he do anything?
Mm-mm.
They forgot who God was. They only believed. Mm-hmm. Amen. So they didn't have faith in action. And faith without action is the same as faith without work is what?
Dead.
They weren't able to accomplish or do anything. Yes, there was an enormous trial. There was a giant. It was a mountain before them. But I heard Jesus say, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you can speak unto this.
No.
He didn't say you got to go get a bulldozer. Amen. You got to get no earth moving equipment. He said you can just what?
Speak to the mountain.
What is that? God's word, is it true?
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Is it true? Can you just speak to the mountain? And say, be thou removed and be thou cast. He said, you know what? That's the kind of God I am. I want to just move the mountain, but I'm going to displace it. I want to remove it from its place and put it in the
faith.
If you have faith as a grain of a
mustard seed.
And if you got the Holy Ghost, you got to have mustard seed faith. Amen. Because you receive the Holy Ghost by faith. And the men of Israel said, have you seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up, and it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the man that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine? Now listen, everybody else, all the rest of them, what? Cowards. Every time, and this is what you have to watch, those who hang around. Every time the challenge presented itself to cowards, the challenge may be different in all of our lives. What's the challenge? What do you do when the challenge presents itself? Amen? What do you do when the challenge presents itself? Do you run like a dog with the tail tucked between his legs, trying to get away? Amen. So all the rest of Israel already proved they were what? Cowards. They didn't want to fight. And taketh away the reproach from Israel. For who is this uncircumcised
Philistine?
He didn't care about the Philistine. David's concern was that he was defying the what? Armies of what?
Living God.
The living God. We read in Timothy, he said, trust in the what? Living God. Amen. So David said, wait a minute. I don't care who he is or how big he is. I don't care if he's going to get his other four brothers and the giants too. Amen. They are nothing when it comes to defying God. The army of God. Amen. I heard somebody say, God's not dead, he is.
Dead
I said, God is not dead, he is.
Yes,
amen. He is the living God.
Yes.
Amen. Jesus, I heard Jesus say, I mean, John say in the book of John, he's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yes. He's not a God of the dead, he's the God of the
living.
He's a living God. Yes. Amen. So I don't care what the situation is. And the people asking him after this manner, go to the next verse. Now everybody else is afraid. That's why you gotta watch those that you believe in. You gotta trust in God. There's sometimes God gives you a vision for you. Don't share. Hey man, when God gives you something for you, don't share. Just keep it between you and God. Because your big brother or your big sister may not understand. Because they don't understand the God in you. Amen. And they don't understand that you understand that God is able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that I could ever. So they don't understand that. So I don't need approbation for you. I'm standing on the living word of God. Can I get an amen?
Yeah.
And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against the champion. You don't say David. It says David. He was what? Champion. You are a champion. Don't you let somebody else's naysaying words.
Right.
Hinder your walk with God. You must find favor first in the sight of God, and the devil has been so shrewd, so crafty. We always seek to get approval from man, and we forget about God. Trust is hope for deliverance with joy and what kind of confidence?
Full
confidence. David had full confidence. He still had his joy, and we'll find out. With whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see
the battle.
See the battle. But David, when that word saw, he said, what have I now done? Is there
not a cause?
What have I done? You coward. You talking about me every time that coward, Goliath, presents himself, you running. Now I have a mind to do the right thing and you're going to put me down.
Come on.
Come on. Amen. You don't need a fool of man just for God. He turned from him toward another and spake the same manner. Next verse. And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail.
Because of him.
Amen. Luke says in these last days, when we see what's happened, men's heart will fail from fear. Not in the church. We don't trust in Obamacare and other care or anything else. Our trust is in God.
Yeah.
When we walk by sight and believe, every time the world gets shaken, we get shaken. Every time they lose their job, I heard the psalmist say I was young. Hello?
Come on. Yeah.
And now I'm old. Never have I seen
righteous forsaken.
Am I righteous? Let me God will not forsake me. Never have I seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed. No good thing will our God withhold. Amen. So he said, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go out and fight with this
Philistine.
And Saul said, tell this the second time. People were discouraged. But if you know what God has in you, even you don't listen to nobody else's words. Amen. All you need is God. You and God is a majority. How is it you with thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of men, and you only got one man that had the courage? You don't need a whole lot of people. All you need is Jesus. I said you don't need a whole lot of people. You don't need a whole lot of counselors. You don't need a whole lot of people on your side. All you need is Jesus. He said, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he being a war from is seven times in trying to discourage the champion. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep. There came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and spoke him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he rose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and
slew him.
Amen. Somebody said, my soul looks back and wonder. Lord, you don't have to do anything else. I look back and see what you already done.
Right.
Amen. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already
come.
So David said, I don't care what's before me, because the task before me is no greater than the task which was behind me. God has already delivered me one time, and he's still the same God that changes not. So if he delivered me before I believe, he can deliver me now. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
All right, I'm going to hurry up. I know y'all ready to get out of here. I'm taking too long, right? Don't let me go away for a week. This uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he has defied
the armies of the living God.
Listen, when you make a stand for God, I don't care who comes against you,
all right,
or how they come against you, don't lose your faith. Don't lose your hope. Most of all, don't lose your trust. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion, the whole Lord, and out of the paw of the bear, he will
deliver me.
This is faith talking. Now, this ain't guessing. Amen. He said, he what? Will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go and the Lord be with thee. Mm-hmm. And Saul armed David with his garment, and he put a helmet of brass upon his head. Also, he armed him with the coat of mail. You don't have to let somebody else arm you. Mm-hmm. Amen. Just say Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. So they wanted him to fight the conventional way, but it was not good enough for David. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he said to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off. When we go out into battle for God, you don't need nobody to give you anything. Hello?
Amen.
If I'm going into battle, first of all, it didn't work for you. So don't give me what didn't work for you when God has given me a vision for myself of what I need to do.
All right.
So don't try to equip me with your power mentality when I got the mind of a champion.
All right.
I don't know how I'm going to do it, but my confidence is in who? God. Amen. So now, all of y'all have been running, and every time I try to go forward, somebody's trying to hold me back. Shake those people off your coattail.
Right.
Amen. I'm going for God. I refuse to let anybody hold me back. You won't hinder me. Amen. I'm trusting in God. I don't need your helmet. I don't need your sword. I don't need your breastplate. All I need is Jesus. Because I'm trusting in the living God. Amen. So you don't have to equip me. This is me and God on this battle. If you knew what it took, why didn't you do it? That's why you gotta watch those people that's trying to help you out.
Amen.
Oh, hold on, I need to put my watch right now. Let me see, what time is it?
8:53.
Good God, man. I'm gonna bring this to the close. And he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in his scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. Challenge number 3. And the Philistine came on and drew near to David. You know, he said, I'm ready to fight.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I want you to look at me like I'm nothing. Because you don't know what's behind me.
All right.
The fight is not in me. The fight is what's behind me.
Yeah,
amen.
Mm-hmm.
And the Philistine came on and drew near to David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. Now, you know, that's a serious fight there.
Mm-hmm.
His shield was so big, he couldn't even carry it. He had somebody else carrying the shield to fight the battle. The challenge doesn't make a difference how large it is.
All
right. It's nothing for God.
All right.
Amen. The challenge, as I said tonight, no matter how big it is nothing for God. No one has ever been able to explain how God was able to part the Red Sea. Amen. Overnight. And have over millions of people go across on dry ground. There's no words to explain it. It's still trying to figure out my side, but with God.
Yes.
God calleth all things that be not as though they
were.
God is able to make a way out of
no way.
Is there
anything too hard for
God? You know, we quote it, but like I said, most of us believe God, but we don't really trust him. Amen? We don't really trust. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy. And what he's doing, sitting there, a good looking kid out here to fight me.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't know what was behind him. That's what I'm saying. We can't just believe God, man. We got to trust God. Amen. No matter how big the challenge is, no matter how much they try to intimidate us with words, I'm going on in Jesus' name. Next verse. And the Philistine said unto David, wait a minute. Don't you know who you're fighting? Amen. That's what happens in the church. We listen too much to the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
We listen too much to the challenger. And the challenger backed us up in the corner because of the words. You don't have to be afraid. They said years ago when Mike Tyson went in his glory, he beat everybody before they got in the ring.
Right.
because he had already intimidated them. But that's what the devil does there. That's what it was. I'm going to do this, but I'm already afraid. You don't trust God. You just believe. Because when you trust God, once again, he says, when he says fall, you don't look back. You don't step back. You don't question. You just fall because you know God has you. Amen? Am I a dog that God comes out to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by scars. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowl of the air and to the beasts of the fields. Then said David to the Philistine, thank you, Jesus. Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. Jesus said, if you ask anything in my name, he said, if you ask anything in my name, he said, I'll
do it.
And the works that I do shall you do and greater. Hallelujah. Amen. He said, you come to me with all that stuff. And the only thing I have is the
name of the Lord.
Name of the Lord. The name of the Lord is a what kind of tower?
Strong tower.
I say the name of the Lord is a what? Strong tower. Amen. If you don't know it by now, hallelujah, if you look in his word, you'll find out that everything God says in the book, he will back it up if you trust him. But when we lean to our own understanding, when we walk in our own conceit, that's where the path gets barred and our confusion comes in because we don't trust him. Said, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand. Did he say might? He said possibly?
Will.
It's by chance?
Will.
Amen. God said, I've spoken it and shall I not do it. I said it and shall I not make it good. This day will the Lord deliver me into thine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcass of the hosts of the Philistine this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a
God in Israel.
I say that all the earth, as we stand, when you trust God, you don't worry about the threats. When you trust God, you don't worry about the challenges. Amen. When you trust God, you don't care about the mountains that are before you, because you're in the name of the Lord, and in the end, all that see and behold you shall know that there is a God in your life. Well, our problem, as I said earlier, most of us believe God, but when the rubber meets the road, we do not really trust God. Amen. God can do anything but fail. We need to get out of the reservations of trusting God. And we need to fully believe God. How many of us are missing out on deliverance, as we said earlier? We're missing out on great deliverance for fear of man. Peter had the keys to the kingdom. But his decision-making was always governed by man. We will never rise to the plateau of the level that God wants us to be if we do not keep our life in its proper perspective. God has to be number one. Pleasing God has to be number one. The moment we start pleasing men, just like Peter, we will fall in the simulation. It's all about God tonight. Can we make a stand for God? Just remember, whatever decision you make, as with David, one man out of thousands had a mind to trust God. Trust God. Believe God. Don't hold back portion like Ananias and Sapphira, but give God your all. Some we sing, dear Lord, I come withholding. What are you holding back in approaching God? What are you holding back? desires that you have tonight. All that I have is on the altar. Not some that I have, but what? All. Tonight, salvation is the only thing that counts. You know, sometimes I think we think we're going to live on this earth forever. But the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die and then to judgment. You're nothing more than a stranger and a pilgrim on this earth. You're just passing through. Make preparations for your eternal home. And stop working on this temporary. It's all about serving God. So tonight, in closing, do you believe God? Or do you trust God? Do you trust God? If God said, well, I want you to